Well, thanks very much, Jacqueline, for that. Sure, that's provoked a few questions
I hope
and
so.
quite possibly some discussion as well. So, anyone feels like launching forth? Ed?
Yeah. Jackie, I think you may have misspoken at one point. You were saying that you don't want people who are who disagree with the party or think that capitalism is still viable, that we don't want you around us. I think the opposite is true. We do want them around us. We do want people to come in and talk to us, and we do want to go and talk to other people, because that's how you learn. It's a social arrangement and a social relationship. To say we don't want you around us. If I was not a member of the party and just a worker who'd come along who's interested, I probably would have left at that point. Because you just said, you know, you don't want people like that around. Well, obviously, the opposite is true. Yeah, I mean, we do need to be discussing, talking, debating with everyone. We can be hostile. We can present the party's case where it differs with others. But we don't have to do it in a hostile way or an aggressive way, you know what I mean?
I'm just going to answer you, Ed, because if you heard me say, and I would like everyone to say that they actually heard me say that, because that was not what I believe I said or the intention. I hear what you're saying, that is not me. I can hear that's not how I am at all. I want every member of the working class in here. What I don't want is you lefties who think I am too stupid to free myself. What I want is you lefties who think you're going to lead me to the barricades while you then sit down as your leadership telling me how I am going to live my life for you. We've had all that. That's who I don't want around me. That's who the party, I believe, do not want around them.
I would still say that my point stands that we still do want to talk to them, and we do still want to debate with them and tell them why we think they're wrong.
Right, well, maybe I'm not making this clear. When I talk of the leadership, I'm talking of people who are so set in their ways, having heard how the working class is far too stupid to emancipate themselves. Only they can do it for me and us and all the rest of it. This is the group. They are a small minority who are dying out. The followers of these people, I welcome them. You know, come and have some sanctuary like I have. Come and have a bit of rest. Come and have some fun. Come and do something, if that answers your question. But you still think I've said what I've said?
We can listen to what's going on.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Jack, I prefer that you didn't answer
Sorry.
Every conceivable point,
as I said,
and
I think
we'll accrue a number of points, and then you can answer them later.
Thank you very much.
Pilar, I think.
Just very quick. I agree with you. I think you said what you said, not what he said. But I don't agree with the fact that you said the leaders, no? For example. Also, you said, I want the followers of this leader, but I don't want the leader. Actually, the leader is no one without the followers. And the opposite. There is no one is going to be a leader if there are no followers, and the opposite way as well. So, I mean, I think if there is someone who thinks like this, who thinks the working class is not clever enough or is not self-sufficient enough to deal its own change, I think it's just a conditioning of the mind. It's because the system, you know, since we're born from the family, school, university, media, blah, blah, it puts us this message. And it's so sad that so many people, they think like we cannot make a change. They are waiting, they are expecting someone else is going to make a change. They are expecting the same people who create the problem, they're going to change it. So that's the mentality we've got now. But even the leaders, they are like the keepers of the system. So I think it's even more important we deal with them and we talk with them because we need them. Because they got a lot of followers. So as long as they got followers, we don't have this big percentage of people. So we need the followers. We need to talk with the followers. I know it's hard, and I get a little bit pissed off when I talk with these people, these kind of people who think, we need leaders, we need people following these leaders, and blah, blah, someone has to organize everything. I don't believe in this as well, same as you. But I do believe we need to talk with them, and we need to make them understand the reality of the facts. And the reality is that it's true that some people right now, for the level of awareness, for the level of consciousness, and the knowledge they could get. They are not able right now to start the thing, but they have to get into it, and they need our help, same way we need their help. But I think, my point is just this, I think we need the leaders, we need everyone, everyone to be part of the thing. Otherwise, it's going to be part of the thing. What kind of system we are going to create? We are going to be leaving people in, like, away, outside.
Daryl, I've seen you. Daryl.
I'd like to play devil's advocate a little bit and talk about the party's relationship to the class. And I was just thinking about chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, and it starts with, in what relation do communists stand to the proletarians as a whole? The communists do not form a separate party opposed to the other working class parties. They have no interests separate and apart from those of the proletariat as a whole. I feel that there's two answers to that. One, that the lefties kind of take is that simply Marx was wrong. We'll ignore that, we'll form our own party. The other is the sort of very reformist Labour type view where we'll do whatever the working class, whatever reforms that the working class support, we'll just tail them. It's tailism. We'll go with whatever they do as long as they vote us in. I think that the Socialist Party has a kind of third answer to that, but I'd sort of like people to possibly discuss that and think about that.
What, you don't want to give us the third answer that you think they might have? I'd be interested to hear it.
Well, there's various aspects that I suspect the Socialist Party analysis is that we're just one of a number of vehicles that the working class could use to capture political power. And you can see that in other things. The way that all our meetings are open suggests we're kind of have an accountability to the working class that a lot of other parties don't. They'll have secret leadership meetings. They won't let people come and watch them make the decisions. I think the Socialist Party is unique in that respect.
Exactly.
Kevin?
I think it was very good of Jacqueline to take this on. And if it's the first speech you've made, it's a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And it's very difficult.
I know. But amongst friends, comrades.
I think, in a sense, if I was reading what you were saying, if I picked up properly, I think the Socialist Party stands alone in the sense that if you come here, you realise you're not an elitist party. There's no
elitism
here.
Exactly.
My awareness of the left, as you describe it, now let's take a party in particular, the SWP. Now, they are elitist in a sense because they have got this Leninist structure where they will have the vanguard. You know, they've got all these people following, lots of students, lots of student harvesting until they wear them out. But they still have the vanguard element of it, where they will have a caucus before a meeting. Exactly. So they've decided on their approach. This is not democratic, right? So a vanguard movement is not democratic, right? So in a sense, I agree with your opposition to that sort of process. But I think we should be trying to, where possible, to win people over from that position and say, this is a better way to do it. I think also we have to realise, and because I come across this a lot, there's a lot of people in this country that have never heard of the Socialist Party, right? Never been to a meeting. And so, whereas we are here, we understand it, there's a tremendous amount of people outside who've never come into contact with this. And because they've never come into contact, once they hear it, they go, oh, this must be a lot of baloney. You know, how can you live in a world without money? It's extremely difficult when people first want to do this. But in trying to bring this to a close, I think you're brave to do it, and I think it's very good. I don't think we should look to isolate people necessarily. What we need to do is to isolate that way of looking at politics, social work, and say we must have a leadership, we must have a vanguard movement, because we don't. And so, you know, if that was what you was getting to, I'm all for that. No, look, you don't want the vanguard.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter.
Wasn't he that man there?
No.
Recently, I read a book.
Peter, sorry.
Yes, recently I read a book called The Downfall of Tommy Sheridan, who was a leader in the Glasgow area, and very, very popular, got a lot of good votes, a great number of votes, and they eventually had the Scottish Socialist Party, as they so called themselves, created. And when you read this particular book, it was written by close comrades of his, regarding Tommy's life in that particular party and what he asked them to do as a sort of leader of the party. And amongst the things he was asking them to do was to lie about what was actually happening regarding to himself and things like that. And he was actually asking them to commit perjury and things and so on. And all the problems that they had. And how people within that party who had this leadership idea in their head that a leader would be something that could achieve something for them. He couldn't believe the lot of stories that were going about at the time, and although they turned out to be true, but they, at the time they just didn't believe it. And so they pretty well just poo-pooed the particular attack that was getting made on Tommy, basically because he was the leader of that particular party. And of course, if you read the book, it's really a sad reflection on leadership and the effect of leadership. We're not against, we're not against people that are supporting a leader in that sense, that because he's a leader, you should listen to him. Because at the moment, for instance, the left in Scotland, because they're coming up in the election, they're going to vote for his independence of Scotland, based on the fact that they believe that if they get in being leaders, they'll convince enough people in Scotland to eventually have some sort of left-wing government in Scotland, in other words, more nationalisation and so on. All these things that we've all already known through just looking at history, that these things in no way are going to solve working-class problems. But that is what that leadership, assuming they get what they wanted, would be what they're going to do. And that's all these particular leaders are offering you. The Socialist Party doesn't offer that. The Socialist Party only offers socialism, as the Speaker says. And it's relying not on the Socialist Party to give you socialism. It's relying on you, the working class, to give you socialism. That's what the Socialist Party say. What we say as socialists is, we are here to demonstrate to you that there's a better way of living, and you, the ones that are going to have to do something about it. Not necessarily us, we're not your leaders, but you. We'll certainly be only too glad to help you and get into the same ideas as you've got. But how we get it will depend on the working class, and they've got to get the socialist ideas into their head first and foremost.
Exactly. Sorry, I don't know your name. Phil. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not a member of the Socialist Party of Great Britain.
Welcome.
Thank you. I do have a lot of agreement. I absolutely applaud your insistence on internationalism,
of course,
and anti-reformism and socialism.
I learnt it all here.
Fine. I disagree with you, Howard Jacket, and a few of the other people, that you're the only party that says such things. I count myself as a left communist, and I think we've got lots of common ground with you, but some important differences. So I disagree with that bit. But I want to stick up for you against this nasty Eddie here. This person criticising you, because I thought what you said at the start was that you don't want people to join the party who don't agree
exactly
wholly.
Exactly.
I think that's the point you were making, and that I think is really important.
And if I didn't make
you're
that
here to represent a set of opinions and a set of principles.
Correct.
And the last thing you want to do is persuade people to join who don't agree with you, because then you've lost everything.
Correct.
So I absolutely
correct
agree with the emphasis you were putting on there, and I agree with the animated way you were expressing the dislike of the reformists and the left parties and so forth.
I'm not allowed to spit.
Okay. I absolutely agree. Can I say, I think that's because, and I think that's because while these people talk about socialism and communism, mm-hmm, and I have this criticism of the Socialist Party of Great Britain that I think you tend to accept that they are socialists and communists. Mm-hmm. I don't think they are. They are reformists. And to be a reformist means you're working to the benefit of capitalism.
Yes.
And I don't know that I call Stalinists reformists anyway. They're extremely dictatorial. Whether they're Communist Party in Britain or in Russia. You know, it's a dictatorial system that has nothing to do with communism whatsoever. These people aren't part of our movement. That's my key point, I think, that I want to make. And I know that comes into the discussion next. I really did come from the last discussion today. That's the bit I want to stress. So the issue comes back to how you come to... how does the working class come to the communists? And I applaud, again, the point you're making about the need to talk to people, anybody that you want to talk to, persuade everybody. But you can't... I disagree. I don't agree that you can simply persuade everybody. Mm-hmm. Working class consciousness comes also from its situation in society, and it learns from work, alienation at work, it learns from struggle, and the class as a whole, and we're all part of that. So I put a bit more stress than just the talking to people, but the experience of struggle and conflict with the Stalinists and the leftists and so forth. I think you come into conflict with those, and I absolutely applaud the way you approach them.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing and open this really up to the floor. I did say that we are a Marxist party, but I do not have that knowledge. I can't discuss with you about your organisation or where you're coming from. But there are members here who can, and it's a pleasure to have you here because we want to talk. If you say we've got things together. Yeah. We want to talk. It's those who are adamant, who want to lead us, who want to be the bosses. But thank you for being here. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, and I hope that someone here can answer some of the things you've said.
Bill?
Yeah, you said you don't know what you're about, but...
Well, I know a little.
But you managed to quote the very best line from...
Thank you. What was that?
One love. I'm so pleased. It's a line I think that can't be quoted often enough, because it is a standing, complete refutation of Stalinist and Leninist politics and of the whole idea of leadership and an idea that socialism and communism is some sort of totalitarian ideology, because you can't force people or compel people into that sort of into free development. I mean, it's a complete contradiction. And likewise, as our friend H said, if we're talking about free development of people within socialism, that would be the free development of people to be socialists, and that in itself is an essential and key precondition. That's why some of us would occasionally say that we're not so much, the discussion isn't so much about creating socialists, but as catching socialists and finding people whose point of view is that they agree with the party agrees with them. I mean, that's how I came to the party. My route was the party agreed with me, so I joined. and I think that has to be the way around. It has to be for...
That's very generous.
Congratulations, all of you.
Well, I appreciate what you've said, actually.
after a speech like that, we'll look forward to seeing you down Hyde Park.
I am thinking of it.
Vincent.
Bearing in mind this summer school about relationships, the question that I'd like to ask is, what is the people at large?
Can you ask me to speak up? Can you speak
raise
up,
your voice a little bit?
Yes, I'd just like to start off by asking this question. What is the relationship between people at large and the Socialist Party? Well, if I may, can I just answer that and other people may?
It's horrible.
Well, obviously, quite clearly, the vast majority of people have never heard of us.
Correct.
Don't really know about us in any detail to have any type of relationship at all. And so, then another question is, what attitude or relationship do people have with politics? Well, it seems in recent decades, most people have become increasingly alienated from politicians and politics at large. I think most people who can remember the 60s and that will know that politicians were held in fairly high regard by a lot of people. The situation is totally different now from the experience they've had. And so, a socialist party, it's a political term, and it, when people do find out about it, very regrettably indeed, a lot of people are turned off in the sense that they think, oh, well, here is another political party promising to do something. But that's the way they think before they even start, if they start looking through any of our literature. But on the positive side, I think that the important thing that I'm sure many people in the party are well aware of this, is that capitalism is doing at least a part of our job for us, because capitalism is in a real mess. To quote to quote a lovely photograph that was in the recent edition of the Socialist Standard, I think many people will remember the Saatchi advert at the time of the 1979 election, Labour isn't working. Well, I think that photograph being edited to put cross Labour out and say capitalism isn't working. And this is quite clearly a key factor, I think, which in the future will quite practically improve the relationship between people at large, who we want to attract because we want to grow a majority, people at large and the Socialist Party. Because capitalism isn't working, because in many advanced industrialised countries you've got a younger generation now who are worse off than their predecessors, and that's the first time this has happened for decades and decades. Because all of these cutbacks are going on, there's always wars going on in different parts of the world, and the day-to-day experiences of working class people, as shown by Mike earlier in school, by people, their experiences in the workplace, because of all those things, then if we can somehow get improve our communication with the majority of people, bearing in mind, as I said a few moments ago, capitalism is extremely ironically enough, doing part of our job for us by just not being able to get out of this mess, and we know that it never will be able to get out of the mess as long as it's in existence, then the results of that will hopefully, the sooner the better, obviously, improve the relationships between people, the majority, and us.
Mike.
It was just a general sort of question I wanted to raise about the word persuasion. Really, I'm not sure if you used that word yourself, or if you did, what kind of context. But I was just thinking about whether the SPG or any political organisation, to what extent we can persuade someone else of a set of our beliefs. So I think if either a person or a set of beliefs persuade someone else, then that other organisation or that other person is doing someone else's thinking for them. And I think that the role of organisations, including the SPGB, and I suppose it probably applies to others as well, is to present a certain amount of information and interpretation and experiences and all the rest of it. But whether or not our collective body of work, our talks, our articles, our books, persuade people, I'm not quite sure if that's the right word to use, because our understanding of society and ourselves, that comes mostly from our experiences and how we view the world through our particular set of glasses or our particular mindset. And I think we're on a slightly sticky ground if we, again, as opposed to any organisation, if we say we will persuade other people. because then that implies that we're sort of patronising other people if we say that, because we say, oh, you can't think for yourself, we have to put a load of thoughts into your head. So I was just wondering if other people meant this, understood the term persuasion, or if you did, in that way, or if maybe that isn't what we mean by persuading others of the socialist cause.
Well, for myself, if I use that word, I can't remember, and I don't know the context, but I've heard what you've said. But I'm a great believer that the party's got it right. We put out, all we give you is the information, the knowledge, and what we know. All we know, how to get rid of this system, what this system is about, and what we could have. And the best ways of getting there without violence, hopefully. What more could you want? And, of course, they do their own thinking. It's for them to read it or listen to it and make up your own mind, like all of us did.
John? You know, that was very much my experience. I'm glad you said that about persuasion, because, I've been in and out of all sorts of parties in the left. The Communist Party, I've stayed in the longest until it just sort of fragmented, you know, the impossibility of squaring the circle with supporting the Soviet Union, you know, eventually ran out. But when I first came to London in the early 70s, I went to Hyde Park Corner. There were two speakers that stood out, so I'm glad you're going to go, Jacqueline.
I think
you make a great contribution.
I am thinking.
One was Harry, what was his second name?
Baldwin.
Yeah, and
Young.
Yeah, Harry Young and Donald Soper. And they stood out amongst them all. And I remember, you know, with tremendous barracking, the kind of things you say, the disbelief people have about Socialist Party of Great Britain's vision, about, you know, contemplating another way to live. And how wonderfully he dealt with it. And then I remember afterwards, on the high of trade union demonstrations, which I used to go on, and you think, oh, this is great, these wonderful achievements we've made. And Harry and others used to hand out these leaflets. And after the pub and coming home in the evening, I used to read these leaflets and think, yes. And it took a long germination, and I eventually joined the party earlier on this year. But it was me catching up with the message, if you like, with the having had the experience of working in reformist parties. I was in and out of the Labour Party four times, you know, seeing the Communist Party. I never, thankfully, went down the Trotskyite route. But, you know, and eventually the experiences of my life and what I caught up with the message, and therefore I persuaded myself. But if it hadn't been out there, if the information hadn't been out there, if I hadn't heard Harry, if I hadn't taken those leaflets home and read them and read the Standard for about 2 years before I joined it, it wouldn't have been there. And, you know, I felt the quality and the of the message was the thing that changed my life really in relation to this.
So, Frank, there.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Paul.
Yeah.
And Ron.
Thank you, Ron. Listen to a comment here and almost sort of make an identical point. I sort of first cut my teeth with Socialist Party.
Paul, a bit louder, please.
Yeah, I'll just say I first cut my teeth with the Socialist Party's best part of 40 years ago at the tender age of 10, listening to speakers at Glasgow Exchange Square. And Eddie Grant and things for his name, Steve Coleman, the Slapper Brothers, some of the old diehards there. And they spoke with the same sort of passion and vigour that Jackie has here today. And you know, they're sort of drawn out this kind of, this underlying sort of socialist instinct that most people really have, that everyone can generally resonate with, you know. And I think that's you know, for all the philosophising and all the technical and talk that was something we're exposed to, you know, and understand that's the principles and the basic of scientific socialism. You know, sometimes it just takes that good, raw, emotive sort of speech to help draw out, you know, inside every reformist to be like, it's like a socialist just waiting to get out there, you know. And if we can just try and help bring that forward by educating and inspiring people to release themselves, you know, from their own inner shackles, you know. And then I think, Jacqueline, we've made a terrific public speaker. You know, it's good to get back to that sort of grassroots kind of identity, because there's a lot of people out there who tune into that and really be able to identify with everything in the way she spoke there. It was very articulate and very moving, I thought. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Janet.
Yeah, I'd like to just say, yeah, hear to that. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you for being here, Janet, all the way from Turkey.
Well, part of me, I want to say about the relationships aspect of this, and it's what's coming through from what people are saying. There's a thousand and one ways to skin a cat, or some such thing.
Right.
And, you know, we all relate to people in very different ways.
True.
We all have our own mannerisms, our own way of putting things, our own way of feeling things, and depending on who the person is that you are relating to, it's going to be, that's partly dependent on whether they hear you at all, a little, or a lot. And, you know, it's just, I sort of feel that it's so important that we have the diversity of people who are prepared to stand up and say however they're going to say it, or write however they're going to write it. Get the message out as many different ways as possible. As Jacqueline said, we're unified by those principles.
Exactly.
That declaration of principles. That's what unifies us. We know at the bottom, we're all after the same thing. And we just come at it slightly different ways. Okay? That was my little bit, and thank you, because it made me want to renew my vows.
Well, that did cross my mind without the religious connotations. It's always nice to go back to basics sometimes. We forget sometimes, you know? But it clarified it for me. Anyone else? Or ready for a break? Fraser's laughing. What's the matter?
Well, is anybody else want to chip in? I'll ask Jacqueline to... Want to say a few words in winding up or not?
I've really said all that I wanted to say on this talk. I'm not going to say anything else, but if there's anyone else who would like to say anything, feel free. I'm just relieved that I've got something out.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and that's very good.
Thank
and
you.
Hope we'll do
thank
a
you
few more talks and go to Hyde Park or wherever. And extend your speaking skills there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.